You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. It is Thursday, getting ready for a big basketball game in about an hour or so. Oregon and Arizona up in Eugene, one of my favorite college towns. In with me is my tax write-off, Matt Moreno. How you doing, Matt?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming in. God, a great dependent. Thank you.
Tom. I just like the way you say my name.
Moreno. And Tom Callahan. I hope you like the way I say your name, Callahan.
Hey, anything but late for dinner is good with me.
Well, I won't call you late for dinner after we go to the first dinner. You're buying.
Oh, all right. All right, if I'm not there, start without
never
me.
Never mind. Yeah, never mind. Hey, today we have a big show today. I don't know, big. We have a show today. We have the beat writer from the Register Guard covering the University of Oregon, Steve Mims. He'll be on the phone about 5-7 minutes. We'll get him at the game here, see maybe get a setup of the game and see what he expects to see tonight. Oregon and Arizona, only a 3.5-point favorite, Oregon. That's a big shocking to me.
Yeah, no CJ Walker. I mean, still, I don't. We'll see.
CJ Walker, who won't be playing.
Won't be playing. For Oregon.
For Oregon. I don't know if that's much of an advantage or disadvantage. Winning on the road is difficult, as you know. Oregon is still one of the best teams in the country. Arizona is okay, one of those better teams in the country. I don't think they're going to beat Oregon up there.
It's a tall task for Arizona. For this Arizona team, the way they've been playing lately, I know they're coming off a good game against ASU, but I think listening to Sean Miller and what he talked about this week, he kind of leaned on their youth.
Yeah.
And we've heard that before when they've gone into tough games where he says, you know, this is the first time, so I don't know what happens. Kind of lending you to what he's thinking. And he does have a young team playing in what I was kind of going back and thinking about. It's going to be their first true road environment because Baylor was such a weird situation. And obviously it was so different seeing that type of environment than what they're going to see in Oregon tonight.
You know, you've been around him about 8 years, 9 years, so same with me. He's a guy who doesn't give a lot of coach speak. He's as honest as he can be, save for Trier PD or Pitts disclosure. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because he's not allowed to. But he's pretty honest, and he also kind of sets you up like, yeah, if we don't win, it's because, you know, we're not good enough, or he kind of throws that in there.
Yeah, and that's why it's sometimes he writes your stories for you.
Oh, yeah.
And you kind of remember back to what he said. But no, I think there's been moments when they went into the Baylor game, he talked about a lot of different things. And he said he's setting them up just in case they lose, whether it's for us to write those stories or whether it's for the NCAA tournament committee to remember, hey, this is, put it in their mind, this is what was going on and this is what we had, and now we're a better team in March than we were back then. But he puts things in people's minds to make them think about it and go, okay, if this happens. But I think also him doing that gives you an idea of truly where he stands anyways, and he wouldn't be saying those things if he was super confident.
No question. He does set us up for those stories. But he says the same thing in the locker room. Because you know what he ever says in the locker room? He says to us 5 minutes later.
Right.
To set up, or he doesn't answer the question.
And how do we know that? Because the players will say the same thing.
The same thing. There's no question about that. But he also, not that he sets us up, how's that green basketball, Sean? He'll talk real quick. Well, it was a good basketball, and then he won't answer the question. Like, he goes into tangents.
A lot of times you have a question that you want to ask. He already has an answer for a question that you're not going to ask.
No, that you ask, but it doesn't apply to that answer, to that question. No, it happens all the time. He does that a lot to me. How's your day today? Well, that night game was very,
Again, why I go back to him being such a smart guy, to keep all that coordinated in your head and I have kind of talking points that I want to hit no matter what the questions are going to be. And there's been times, it's funny, there's moments, especially at the end of press conferences sometimes, where he knows he didn't hit on something that he wanted to hit
because it didn't
come up, and he'll just bring it up.
He does. Oh, yeah, by the way. Yeah. Well, that's how he starts his press conference. It's funny because a game or two ago, after the game, he came in and he spoke for like 8 minutes or whatever it was.
It was nonstop.
He talked about everything you could ask him so he wouldn't have to be asked again. I don't know if that was a purpose.
I think so, but I think I pulled every quote that I used for any story the next couple days from that first 8 minutes because it covered every base.
Right. He says, okay, I'm done. Thank you very much. No need to ask me any questions, but we're there.
Which is why I think he has the feelings he has about the media, where he's like, do I really need you guys? I could just come up here for 8 minutes and, you know, talk about everything, answer all your questions before you even ask them. And, you know,
how would you describe his humor?
I don't know. I was thinking about that this week.
It's not a dry sense of humor.
No.
It's like a little biting, sarcastic sense of humor.
I said the perfect way, I think, to describe him is kind of what he said at the end of that little segment that I tweeted out and everyone kind of heard when he was talking, when he did his little joke about, I know another Big East player, freshman of the year very well, me.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding.
Right, right, right.
I said that last part, that's very Shawn Miller. I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding.
You know, which, of course, and he even laughed at the joke. I remember that. And then when he was leaving the building or leaving the room, what did he say to Coloco?
He said, good luck.
Good luck with those guys. Good luck with those guys.
And everyone laughed because we all know it's an interesting dynamic for sure with Shawn Miller between him and the media, because we all know.
The funny thing about it is he would be so much refreshing. This year he's been great. Would you say compared to the past, he's been great on a scale? He hasn't been great like all time, but he's been great compared to previous years. But he would be kind of one of those guys that you can banter back and forth with. He'd give you grief. You give him kind of grief, and then you'd move on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If he allowed it, but he doesn't allow it.
No.
Because you know that if you were like out, you know, he's like one of those buddies you give grief to, and he'd give it right back, and then it's just a back and forth.
I also think someone like him and a lot of different head coaches want to have control. And that would be one of those situations where when it gets to going between you and him or whoever, there's going to be a certain amount of control that he doesn't have.
Oh, sure, sure.
And he can't control the room. And I think that's part of it too.
That's true. That's a good idea or a good thought, because it's pretty accurate. No, but he would be that guy that he would, and you know that he's got some zingers.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some zingers.
I'm sure a lot of people hear those zingers behind closed doors that aren't us.
Right, right, right. Because his humor is that kind of biting, sarcastic.
A lot of sarcasm.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I noted in that tweet when I posted it.
Right, right, right. It was funny. How do I know? It was me. Kidding, not kidding.
I thought that was the perfect way to describe him.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, I thought that was the perfect way for him to describe himself is, I'm joking, but I'm not joking.
Right, right, right. Let's take a quick break now. I know you're flashing me there, Tom. 2 minute, 1 minute, 0 minutes.
Steve, do you want to be a little more specific about what that means to the listeners? Because they don't know, and that sounds a little off base.
Oh, Billy. you get that reference?
Billy?
No, I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm certainly not flashing you from the booth.
No, no, you're giving me the sign. I have 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Steve Manns, talk about Oregon and the game tonight, and let's take a break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and with me is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats. Now we are on the phone. We have Steve Sims of the Eugene Register Guard. Steve, how are you? And thanks for joining me. I know the game starts here pretty quickly.
You got it, Steve. Good to catch up with you.
Yes. How's the arena? Is it going to be packed tonight? And give me the scene setter.
You know, I don't know if it'll be packed. I mean, this is still a fan base that just spent a lot of money on Pac-12 championship games for football and Rose Bowl. And they got a women's basketball team that's in the top five and has tickets that are about half price. So it's been tough for them. I think they get to 8,000 or 9,000 tonight, but they're being outdrawn by the women. And the women last week drew 11 and 10 for a couple games, and I don't think they'll get to 10 tonight. Just it's not the hottest ticket in town.
Real world problems for the University of Oregon. Holy moly!
Yeah, three teams in the top 10 in the country, so they got to the fans are trying to figure out who they want to spend their money on.
Woe is me! Wow! Well, you get to cover. Do you cover the women as well, or do you have another guy doing that or person?
We got another guy who does that. Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't get any sleep if that was the case.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. The like I say, the men are ranked ninth in the country, and that's lower than their football and their women's basketball compatriots. So, like you say, first world problems for the Ducks these days.
Right, right. No, these guys will keep you busy. Obviously, one of the best teams in the country. I think they suffered that weird defeat last week, but they're ready to go. I love this team. I don't know if you do, but they have a great guard. Tell me about their situation.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's not too often that you get a senior point guard in the country, much less
right.
Newborn. He'll be in 10 years in Dane Altman. He'll be the third guy to ever play 4 years for Dane Altman. Everybody else has either transferred or turned pro before they left. So if that's going to happen, it's nice for them to have it be a guy who kind of came on last year and has emerged this year as, you know, certainly one of the conference player of the year type contenders. And they got a real veteran backcourt. They've got You know, Will Richardson, who played last year, and Anthony Mathis, who's a grad transfer and a JUCO guy, and Chris Duarte. So that's been kind of the key for them. Their front court's been kind of mixing and matching as guys have been injured and ineligible, et cetera, and ineffective also. But they've kind of, you know, it's a weird team where their top four scorers are all guards, and one of them comes off the bench. So they've been kind of mixing and matching up front.
To me, he's T.J. McConnell, only better. I don't know if you remember T.J. McConnell, but he's just a gritty guy. You want him. He's like that guy. You want us on the front lines. You want us on the front lines. He's that guy.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it at Michigan. Michigan game, he just kind of, you know, he drove to the hoop, and they just kind of basically, you know, isolated him, and Michigan wasn't sending anybody to kind of double, and so he'd get to the boot and beat guys and scored about 17 in a row at the end, 17 straight of Oregon's points to get to a big win at Michigan, and including in overtime. So, yeah, I mean, he's willed them to a couple, and he is that guy. I mean, certainly he's proven it. You know, last year he was the key on that 10-game winning streak that took them from the NIT to the Sweet 16, and you wondered if, you know, because he hadn't shown that in the kind of the year and a half previous, you wondered kind of if that had been a mirage, and he's come back and kind of proven it again this year.
I don't know if you watch these things or notice these things. I'm sure you do. Arizona's a 3.5 dog, and Oregon's obviously a 3.5-point favorite. To me, it should be like 8 or 9. Is it the Walker situation or what?
You know, I think talent-wise, you know, I think Arizona's with them. I mean, again, I haven't seen as much as maybe yet, but, you know, Zeke presents kind of problems that Oregon doesn't have inside. You know, Oregon's answer, Socorro's been kind of ineffective the last couple of games, and Felly Dante keeps getting in trouble, so I think he's a mismatch for them there. And, you know, I think the Mannion-Pritchard thing, obviously when Arizona's not played well, Mannion hasn't played well, and Pritchard seems like the kind of guy who might be able to frustrate him. So I think if you were taking Oregon minus the 3, you're probably liking that matchup there. And, you know, and obviously Josh Green presents some things, and Oregon, you know, Duarte hasn't played as well lately. Mathis' shot's been off a little bit, so I think coming in, I think it's a good game. If you gave me 8, I'd take the Wildcats right now. I'm not sure I'd take 3.5, but it's I think Oregon, you know, it's a big game for Oregon. You know, obviously coming off a loss there, and they think they're in the Pac-12 race. If they get to 1-2, that's a tough start for a conference that's probably going to need 14 wins to win it. So tonight's kind of a big one for both.
No question. Steve, pardon me if I don't know this because I just don't. I don't remember. I covered Loop for 23 years up in Eugene, my favorite place to go at a college place. I loved Mack Court. It was my best place to go. Tell me, is it tougher to win at Mack Court or is it at the new stadium?
Oh, I think it was harder for visiting teams at Mack Court, you know, just because, again, they sold that place out. There wasn't as many, you know, seats there, and so you could sell it out at what, 9,000, and you know, here's more of a 12,000. It's more of an arena type setting. So if they get 9,000, it doesn't fill up quite as much. You know, I think just Mack Court was more on you. This is again a little bit more bigger seats, a little bit more out. I think it got louder in Mack Court. I've never seen the backboard shake at Matthew Knight Arena, which we didn't see in Mack Court. Right. So I think just the visiting locker rooms were trash. I mean, at Mack Court, I mean, everything was kind of set up against you there. I think an opposing coach would say, hey, it's a lot better to come here where it's, you know, the amenities are a little bit more modern. You know, I was just looking in there, and I mean, the students came back this week, but it's not. An hour before when the students came in at Mack Court, it felt like that student section was filled up after 5 minutes. I was just looking down there after 10 minutes, and it's about half full. So, Mack Court was maybe a little bit of an easier walk for students in here. So it's just, I think if you're an opposing coach for a lot of reasons, you'd rather play here than Mack Court.
Yeah, I would assume so, too. I have some great stories in my book about going to Eugene and just how crazy the fans were. In fact, I don't think smoking was allowed, obviously, because if one spark came out in the Mack Court, it would go down in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, and if you remember, there were a couple times when the popcorn machine caught a little bit of a blaze, and they almost had to – they literally put off the fire alarm and had to evacuate because even just a smoky popcorn machine made them worry that if something got a little bit more engaged, then it was going to have to blow it up.
Well, during the good times of Ridenhours and the Jacksons and the Freddie Jones and all the great teams back, do you see this team having the ability to get back to the Final Four like it did a couple of years ago?
I do, and just in the sense that last year they got to the Sweet 16, I think this is a better team than last year's was. So I think it's a team that is playing better early in the year than last year's team was. So if you take kind of the growth you saw last year and take that into a Sweet 16 team that, quite frankly, you know, was right there with Virginia in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah,
I mean, I think this, and Felly Dante, I think, is kind of the key to this team. I mean, that's the 5-star who they expected to show up, showed up late because of the ineligibility, and it's kind of taken some time to get going. If he becomes you know, and I'm not even saying he has to be Boucher or Jordan Bell, but if he becomes a rim protector, if he becomes a guy who can give them 15-8 and a couple blocks, that changes this team, and I think that turns that from a Pac-12 contender into a national contender.
Who do you have tonight, and is it the first one to, what, 70 or something like that?
Yeah, and no, I think both teams may run around a little bit. I'd say like 75. You know, I like that. You know, I saw Peyton Pritchard the other night against Utah. Rylan Jones is really good point guard for Utah, and Peyton really, you know, when you get a 23-year-old point guard going up against an 18, 19-year-old point guard, I think that can be a difference. So, you know, we saw Oregon's loss, you know, was to, you know, Colorado with McKinley Wright, a more veteran guy. So I think I'd take Oregon tonight just with the, again, I think if Zeke goes crazy, Oregon can't stop him. That could be the difference on the other side. But my pick would probably be taking Peyton Pritchard to kind of frustrate Mannion a bit.
Well, Steve, I appreciate your time. Get back to that big game. We'll look forward to watching it.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time, Steve. That was Steve Minns of the Registered Guard. Good to talk to him real quick. Don't you? His evaluation is pretty spot on, don't you think?
Yeah, I agreed with pretty much everything he said.
Yeah. I like Arizona. I've already said the gun on the record. How these new roles that Sean has kind of. I asked him about that, right?
Yeah.
He didn't go there. He didn't answer my question. You knew where I wanted him to go, right?
I think he knew where you wanted him to go.
So he talks about Zeke, mm-hmm. specific to Zeke, and then I asked him a follow up. And he said, I'm not going there. I'm not mentioning any names.
Yeah.
We know the names. And we talked about it in the last time you were on the show. It's going to be Mannion shooting less and Jones, Josh shooting less and doing what he does more. Any other?
Not right now, because a lot of other guys aren't, they're just not factoring in.
Right. They're going to live and die by the three.
Yeah.
The rest of the year, right?
Yeah.
So you need those three to get going.
Like I said, if there's somebody that you know you're gonna get from most nights, it's Ignaji.
Right.
And that's what, to me, where you should be going. He mentioned the mismatch that it could be tonight. If you go to him consistently, I think against pretty much any team, you're gonna have a lot of success.
Sure. But you're gonna wear not I don't think you can wear him out. 18-19-year-old guy who's
I don't think so.
Who wants the ball. It's the other guys being patient.
Yeah.
Or listening to Sean and say, don't do it. Just do what you do.
Yeah. I mean, if he's the one guy on this team that if he took 20 shots ever, you would not complain about it.
Zeke,
I think. I think everybody would be fine with that.
Yeah, because if he shoots 20, he'll go 12 for 20.
Yeah.
With about 24 points, get to the line.
And the one thing that a lot of guys who play in a similar fashion to Zeke fall into is that they want to step out and shoot threes.
Yeah.
Every one of his threes, which it's probably only been a handful.
Yeah, right.
They've been good shots. They haven't been terrible shots, and some have gone in, and some haven't. But
yeah, he's not
falling into that trap that a lot of bigger guys want to fall into and stepping out and taking three pointers.
It's what I wanted to do that story so bad. You probably laughed to yourself when I did the follow up. Like, can you be more specific or whatever? And using he ain't gonna take it.
I wouldn't have been surprised if he'd just said no.
right.
No, Steve, I can't.
Yeah, that's funny. But it was a good press conference. I mean, it was 28 minutes of a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
he got into it with the transfer.
Mm-hmm.
He got into it with the Coloco, obviously, which was a great story. I really liked him.
Yeah.
It was like, it reminded me of when we first talked to Raleigh Alkins, remember 2-3 years ago?
Yeah.
And they hadn't really brought him out into the press conference. And you think, who is this guy? He's a great talker, a great story. And then Coloco comes out there and he's very good. Almost, affable, obviously.
Yeah.
Very likable in a, God, this guy's a good college student.
I think if you're realistic with yourself, and it's hard for 18-year-olds to be, especially guys that were five-star recruits that everybody tells them how great they are.
Right.
And if you're realistic, I think he understands. He's never shied away from yes. And he did laugh at the question when he was asked, well, are you trying to gain more weight? And he kind of laughed like, yeah, what do you
think? Of course,
of course,
yeah.
What do you think? Right. Can you see me? He didn't say that, but you got that vibe from him when he kind of laughed at the question because he understands, yes, I need to put on more weight. That's one of the things I'm working on. And he's not...
He already has.
Yeah.
He's stronger.
Oh, if you would have seen him in his high school days or in 11th grade, something like, you would go, I saw him in those times when he was playing with Devonair Dutrieve in high school as an 11th grader. Dutrieve was a senior. And I knew Arizona was getting involved with him. And I said, you can see the
potential.
The potential, but I don't know if he's going to be big enough. And then, you know, since then, he's really... Right. Even added a good amount of weight.
So your favorites, the foreign kids are great. Dusan.
Yeah.
Lovable, likable, funny, self-deprecating. Markkanen,
which we learned very at the very end was
very good.
Yeah.
I mean, if
we would have got the Lowry that we got the last few weeks of the season for the entire year, it would have been, he would have been someone that I think fans would have really, really, really liked.
Right. Right. And we hardly know them or him.
Yeah.
And then, and now Coloco, is there, am I missing somebody? Pinder, Australia, but not really. And now Coloco. And well, we'll get to know him because he'll be here for a while.
Yeah.
Good personality too. Smart.
And not that this is, you know, black and white with in terms of the five-star guys are this way and the three-star guys are this way.
Right.
But there is some gray area there. But with him, I think it's, he's a three-star guy. Those guys just don't have the pressure on them that,
right.
that the five-star guys, they're not as guarded.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, they're more free in what they say. Because I think that's the thing that stuck out with me is he never looked down and said, let me think about that. He just kind of answered it. And mm-hmm. it came out very likable.
Right. Even like the questions, because he kind of laughed or smiled at some of them. I've always been called the project.
And some guys, it's just their personality. That's just the way they are. And I think he's one of those guys.
I think that's another reason why Sean likes this group in terms of, I could be misspeaking, but I think he likes this group because their personalities are not me. At least.
Yeah. I think that was deliberate this year when building the roster, that's how he wanted to build the roster with guys who, because he's seen the other side and we've seen what that's led to. I think there was an effort to make sure that he got, you know, quality people, and he's talked about that a lot this year.
Mm-hmm. And we won't know how it really pans out until stress happens or the end when things go bad. Not that they will go bad, but you know what I'm saying? You know, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face, as Tyson says. At some point, they could get hit in the face.
Could be tonight.
Could be tonight. And then guess what? Sunday night's not going to be any better.
No,
because the
difficult
pace.
Weekend, difficult trip.
Yeah, I would say that's the toughest trip of the.
Which is why Sean Miller was excited to have it now. Yeah,
right. Was it better to lose now than later?
I guess
we talked about that last week. Are we ready to take a break already?
You got 20 seconds.
I got 20 seconds. Okay, good. Well, we'll come back here on the other side. I'm going to talk about lacrosse briefly on the other side of the break, and then we'll come back and talk about the game tonight, the big game tonight. Thanks so much. Here on 10:30, The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. We're going to continue to talk about Arizona basketball until we get a call here from Jennifer English to talk about local lacrosse. If you were a smart man, Moreno?
There's a lot of ways that sentence could finish, Steve.
I'll stop there, but you know where I'm going. You're taking whom?
Oregon.
Yeah, I think on the road it's going to be tough. Do they make a trip back?
Yes. It's in late February, I believe.
We'll see what happens. But
as we were talking about off air, they haven't won there since 2015.
Right, which is a big deal. Yeah, there's a reason. They've won 6 of 8 total, right?
Yep.
And they won
They haven't beaten them in 2 years.
Yeah, in 3 straight. I think they lost 3 straight. The trend now is what? Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Oregon?
Yep, they're right there. I think Arizona.
Arizona?
Yeah, Arizona.
Washington?
You keep saying Washington every time we bring this topic. I think Colorado's more of a overtime
thing. Really?
I think so.
Overtime beginning from when?
Just the last few. I think more consistent. I mean, Washington is, they were not good for a while.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's why they got rid of.
And maybe Colorado wasn't great, but they were at least consistent.
Who else in the WCC? Anybody?
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, so they're the top five?
Yeah.
Ahead of Washington and Colorado?
Yeah, St. Mary's is...
4?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you.
I think there's a drop-off between those top three and everybody else.
That's not a whole lot of good teams in the West.
No.
Actually, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a call there, Mr. Tom? Yeah, we do. Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
Steve.
How are you? Good afternoon. Good evening. You have something to talk about. It's lacrosse, yes?
You know, we have such great athletics year-round here in Southern Arizona. And one of the great sports in North America is lacrosse.
That's a hidden sport, isn't it?
It's a fast sport. It's a game for both boys and girls. It's like you took the best elements of soccer, a few elements of tennis, a few elements of baseball. You mixed them all together. There's a little bit of throwing. There's a little bit of tussling. And it's just a great hand-eye coordination sport. It gets kids out there. And I played it as a kid. I played in prep school. I even played on a club team in college. And there's a huge opportunity right now because this is lacrosse season in Southern Arizona. And there's a fantastic club called the Tucson Bandits. And they have teams in different age levels. And right now, their 13 and 14-year-old team needs six more kids to save the season, to register by tomorrow.
Wow.
And if they can get six more kids, they'll field a great team. They have 12 and under and 11 and under and 10 and under and the rest. But these kids, if there's a kid that wants to play, no kid will get turned away if they go to TucsonBanditsLacrosse.com or they call Coach Simon, and his phone number is 520-440-9553.
And is it under 12 for this team?
This is for 12, 13, and 14-year-olds can play in the under 14. And it's a terrific, there are tons of college scholarships. It's a really big game across the country, especially in some of the back east schools. It was a game that originated with Native Americans and Aboriginal First Nations people in Canada and the United States. And it is a fantastically fast, fun game.
Is there a cost?
And we're looking for, no, they're willing right now to not turn any kid away. They have loaner gear programs. You don't have to get into buying huge amounts of gear for your kid. All it is they need the kids to come out and get their team filled up to have the number by registration time.
Okay.
And so I know these guys, I know these kids, and they're great kids, and it's a fantastic game, and it's a great fitness, it's a great sport. You'll get really, you won't believe how fast and how fun this game is. It's got a little bit of hockey, it moves kind of like hockey, they're nets, you shoot a ball into a net, but you have a stick with a net on the end, and you run down the field cradling the ball, throwing it from person, player to player, and you take incredibly fast shots. And it's a fast-moving ball.
Right, right. No, I see it on the highlights of the ESPN shows. It's pretty intense, too. You know, kind of cool.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's a really cool sport. And so, again, the Tucson Bandits team is looking for kids ages 12, 13, and 14 to sign up by tomorrow.
Can they Google that? Can they Google Tucson Bandits and find more information there?
Yep, and it's TucsonBanditsLacrosse.com.
Okay.
And no kid that wants to play is going to get turned away.
Okay. Great, Jennifer. Good to hear from you.
Hey, it's good to hear from you. You're doing an awesome job. Who do you like in the Super Bowl?
Who do you like
going all the way?
I had New Orleans. I bet them in August, and, well, I don't give a crap anymore.
You're my go-to guy. I follow what you say, so.
Well, I'm going to watch some soap opera that day. I don't know. We'll see.
You know what I'm doing? I'm waiting for pitchers and catchers.
I'm sure you are. Of course you are. Boston. How about those cheaters in Boston?
Oh, come on. You're giving us a bad rap.
Oh,
we can't help that we're good.
Good
but
night.
But in all fairness, I grew up waiting for teams to win. We went during the curse of the Bambino years. There were plenty of heartbreaks for me.
Sure, so. Sure. Long life without a victory, and now you finally got one not too long ago.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, you do a great job. Thanks an awful lot for helping me and the Tucson Bandits find some boys to come out and play.
Sure, Jennifer. Thank you very much.
Right,
good luck.
Cheers.
To you.
Bye-bye. Right, bye-bye.
So let's go back to basketball. Are you going to cover the women's team?
Maybe at some point.
Not this weekend?
No, I don't think so. I should. I don't know. I asked you when I first walked in here. I don't know why I didn't think about it.
Yeah. It's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, and then they have Sunday night, right?
It's a big event.
Huge. I didn't realize that the Oregon, women's Oregon's team, 11,000. Wow.
I mean, we saw what it was like when you have a winner.
Sure. No, I get it. Yeah. Well, here, I bet you tomorrow's going to be about 7.
I think it's going to be a good crowd. And even if you're kind of on the fringe and you just kind of are a little bit interested, I think knowing that there's a team like Oregon out there that has done so well it's a draw.
Yeah, and then Sunday night, I think it is, right? Yep. Another, if they win tomorrow, which, you know, whatever, yes or no, Oregon State could be another big crowd.
Do you ever remember, I know in my time it hasn't happened, but do you ever remember a weekend like this for the men where there was, you know, a top five teams coming in?
Oh, for
the men's basketball.
Oh, that's a good question. No.
I mean, that's the thing, is it's not like it's just two good teams. It's two of the top teams in the country.
I wouldn't even think.
Separated by a few days.
Right. Because usually the partners aren't as good.
Right.
UCLA is good. USC, not so much. Cal, Stanford, not so much. Because Cal's always, whatever it was. Washington State, no. No. Wow, you're right. I who did I ask yesterday? The biggest, CJ Brown, or PJ Brown. If this is the biggest weekend in women's basketball history. And she said, well, not unless they win. Well, I think going in, I think there's a lot of hype.
Yeah. I mean, you can talk about it being it's a big weekend. It's a
huge weekend. Yeah. If they're able to pull this baby off, holy moly.
That's the difficult part. And that's when you think about it, even if they win tomorrow, it's like you don't get a break. You don't get to celebrate that because you have another huge game coming up on the weekend.
Welcome to the Pac-12, right? Yeah. Well, that's what she's been talking about. Every game's a gauntlet.
And you're playing a very, very talented team every weekend, or at least every week. Once a week, you're going to be playing a top team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's no way to escape it.
And Sunday's game is at noon.
Oh, is it noon?
Noon.
Okay, that's good.
8 o'clock.
I hope I get up by that time. I can go watch it.
There you go.
You want to go, Tom?
Yeah, I might be out of bed by then.
That makes two of us, right? I'm kind of being joking, but I'll get back to you.
You know what, though? Like, that's kind of the sports lifestyle, isn't it, though? Because you're always working so late. I mean, it's kind of a joke, but it's kind of not.
No, exactly. Moreno and I, I don't do this as much as I used to. I get home like at 12:30 from a deadline story, yada, yada. Get in the car at 12:30, get home by 1, and pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
For you?
Probably a little bit later just because I'm trying to upload video. And
I was going
to
say.
I'm a one-man band.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, sometimes we get out of there by 1 because of all the interviews afterward and blah, blah, blah. It's not and I'm sure the same with you when you were doing the hockey stuff.
Sure.
It's funny because, and people think they have normal lives. People think that we have normal lives because we go to the game, starts at 8, let's say it starts at 8, ends at 10, we do the interviews, finish at 11 because it takes a long time to get into the room, and then it takes another hour, an hour and a half to write it. Now you have videos, and while everybody is either having margaritas or having dinner at that time, we're trying to hack out something that's funny and clever.
Yeah.
And by that time, and then you get home, you have to decompress. And you know what I'm saying? It takes another hour, 2 o'clock. And then they get a call at 8. How come you're not up? How come you're not up? It's the start of the day. I just got home. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, 100%. I understand. Because you go into the office at 9 like everybody else, but then your day doesn't end until you're done.
I'm not complaining, but people, when I talk about this, you have it so tough.
People think it's the easiest life in the world.
Right.
Well, the thing is that for most of us, we're doing stuff during the week, too.
Right.
So we have our normal
regular
stuff
hours.
That we're doing, and then we also have to work on the weekend. People get to turn it off on the weekend. Once the weekend or the night arrives, they get to turn it off. That's when our stuff begins.
Right. Especially when the game is over. Because that's when you really work, when the real work happens.
Right.
Because you're watching the game, you're taking notes or whatever, trying to remember. But that's, once the buzzer hits, that's when the tough stuff begins.
You got to have your story. You got to build everything. You have to know where you're going with it. And sometimes I've done this a million times. You have a story and an idea in mind, and you get to the half or whatever, and it completely changes in the second half, and everything goes out the window.
No question. You're not even talking about the last 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
When the story's already written.
Yeah.
Something happens, and that... You know, the lead changes. How many times does that happen in a day?
More often than not. I still think people would be surprised how much, it's not good, but reporters aren't watching as much as
they think. Oh, you can't because you're tweeting, your Instagram, you're doing all these things, and you actually have 3 or 4 leads on your screen because you don't know which one you're going to go with yet. You know,
Steve. Our favorite line, and I think Steve's favorite line is, "Hey, what happened? Who made that shot?"
That's
a common thing among the media section. Is what just happened?
Right,
who made
that
shot?
You're too busy hacking away.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of part of the business.
Right.
You look up when you hear the roar.
What just happened?
What happened? What happened?
And then you go back to the play-by-play. Oh, really? Darn! What happened?
And it says it's dunk.
And then you hope so, right? Or you hope somebody tweeted it so you can see the actual play.
Yeah.
Let's take a break here on 10:30 The Voice for our final segment here. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. In with me is Matt Moreno. And behind the screen is Mr. Tom Callahan. And on the music is Mr. Stevie Wonder. Big game tonight. So I guess, did I announce the wrong game tomorrow? Women?
Yes, they play Oregon State.
Oregon State tomorrow.
So who's number three, yeah, but also undefeated.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
Still very, very good. And the Oregon on Sunday, correct?
Yep.
At noon. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for doing my dirty work.
That's what I'm here for. I don't do laundry, though.
So you've been here for three years, right, Tom?
Summer of 16 is when I first arrived.
Summer of 16. I think there's a song about that.
Brian Adams wrote it.
Yes.
It's not quite as famous.
No. So what was the perception of Arizona basketball where you came from? Those hills you came from.
So Arizona basketball was one of those teams that occasionally, so you want to talk about an East Coast bias, you would hear about them when they were a threat to make the Final Four, which is to say not super often, but you knew they were good. But all the talk where I grew up was always around Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, and then there were the random teams that would get good, like when I was younger, St. John's in New York could go on a run, or UMass could go on a run. Sorry?
Years.
We're talking late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, okay. That's the Sean Miller time.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's... So Xavier. Was one that could get up and make a run. That was another Northeast. It would just depend on who was good that year. I mean, I remember there was a random year like a Florida State would make a run, and then there was, you know, someone else would make a run, and it just... But so, it wasn't consistent, not so like Duke and
being from the East Coast,
Carolina.
Do you believe that there's an East Coast bias?
I mean, I've lived all over the country now, and I think so. And I honestly, it has to do, I think, more with the time difference than anything else. Because people, so we just talked about the sporting lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. And what we go through to write games. If you lived on the East Coast and you got done with that and you were on your way home at 1 a.m., are you going to turn on a West Coast game?
No way. No way. I mean, people say, oh, they're not going to stay up. Of course, why would you? I was on the East Coast in Pittsburgh last month, and you're up till 2.
Sure.
You're up till 2. I don't blame them for going to bed. Heck, you worry about that tomorrow.
Yeah, and I mean, the football team, they start their games at, what, 8 o'clock local time, mm-hmm. and that's when we're on Pacific time. So that's an 11 p.m. start for an Eastern time zone. Nobody's going to watch that.
No.
The Pac-12 has a huge problem with that. They need to start their games at noon.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's
but they can't compete with the SEC and the Big Ten.
That ain't gonna, you're talking about football specific,
right? But I mean anything else.
Mm-hmm. And not that it matters. I mean honestly, okay. So you don't get noticed. Arizona football, that's a good thing,
right? But so, for the basketball programs out here, yeah, I still believe that.
Yeah, I kind of do. I get the time. I get it. But does it really matter if you're good? You're good. We worry about somebody in New York having to worry about it.
Yeah, show up in the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, shut them up then. See whatever.
I still think that's something that comes up in recruiting as well.
Yeah, no, and I get that. I get that. But it isn't often anyway where you're going to get a kid out of New York or wherever to come here. Really? You know, when they got Khalid Reeves in 92, 91, whatever it was a big deal. And they haven't gotten many since. What, Raleigh? Who else? Who else is out there? Kobe. Atlanta.
Rondé.
Rondé, yeah, New Philadelphia.
Yep.
Who else? That's about it. They're not going to get many. There's plenty of players out this way. The problem is they're losing a lot of guys from this area, California,
yeah,
to go east.
Yeah,
kind of like football.
Oh, football, yeah, for sure.
Football, for sure. But would you want to play here if you're in football?
Not right now.
I'm not saying – I'm saying in the West.
Yeah, not right now. When you turn on the national championship game, it's teams that aren't from around here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And why? Because of exposure, correct? Yeah. What's the number one reason why football players go where they go?
To get to the NFL.
And why do they come here? I mean, why do they go to the colleges like this?
Because they're going to be on TV and be seen.
To go to the league.
Yeah.
To go to the league.
So really, Oregon and Washington are really the only ones I can think of that get that kind of exposure on TV.
Sure.
It used to be USC was where you went if you wanted to make it on the West Coast, too. But even that's not true anymore.
Sure. No, you want exposure, right?
Yeah.
You want to be on a winning team to get you out there. And every guy that you follow, Moreno, has this dream of making a ton of money in the next level.
Doesn't matter if they're a five-star, a no-star, doesn't matter. They think if there's a school at a Power 5 level like Arizona, that is their chance. Even schools that aren't at the Power 5 level, they believe if they play well enough and that they're good enough,
mm-hmm.
they'll get to play in the NFL. And that's true to a certain extent, but there's a lot of things that go into it to making that.
How many kids you see a year? Let's say basketball.
A lot.
100?
Probably more.
Because Arizona's after them? Then they whittle down?
Or they play with recruits that Arizona's after. So that happens a lot of times where I'm going to see someone like, say, Zaire Williams, who plays for Sierra Canyon, and you see, you know, five other guys that are going to be playing college basketball.
Okay, so you go to see these kids, and all of them have this aspiration they're going to be in the league, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
How many of those eventually get there?
And stay?
And stay, because you can't, I get it, yes.
2 or 3 a year can stick,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm. With all of them thinking that they can stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best player you've ever seen have, I mean, I know I've asked you this before. Stanley?
Probably. Aaron Gordon is up there. There was a moment in time, it was like every year there's a holiday tournament in San Diego, and Aaron Gordon's team came down from Northern California, and the door opened. There was a game going on, and the door opened. There's a side door for the teams that were going to be playing next to come in, and the door opened. He walked in, and the gym stopped. Players stopped, like, fans stopped watching what was going on. Players on the bench kind of stopped, and you just saw this huge, because he was massive in high school. He doesn't look like a normal high school player, and everyone just stopped and kind of just, like, stared at him.
Because they knew who he was. And that
was kind of the real start, kind of the height of the YouTube era, where everyone kind of knows all those players just because they've seen all their videos and they're famous before they really even accomplish anything. And he was just one of those guys, but he really backed it up. And I don't know if I've ever seen a competitor at that level like him. He turned away interviews when they lost games, not because...
Right, I remember that.
Not because he didn't feel like doing the interviews, because he was so focused on the fact that they lost that he didn't think he would give a good interview.
Right. Well, in fact, I think that he talked about that, how much he hated to lose and how much he didn't want to be a baby or whatever.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those cases where he hated to lose more than he loved to win.
Right.
And he just did not like losing. And he would be open. He wouldn't be mad about it or anything in terms of declining the interview.
Right.
It never felt like, oh, he just doesn't want to do it. It was just, I'm in a different headspace right now. I don't want to deal with this at the moment.
Well, Tom and I talked about that this week, right? Hating to lose, and those losses hurt more than the victories.
Yeah.
You surely remember them more.
Especially the painful close ones.
Yeah, well, that's why you would rather not be there at all, right?
No, you might not rather be.
You said you would rather not be in the...
I would rather not be in the gold medal game and lose the gold medal game. Right. Mm-hmm. I'd rather win the bronze medal game.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm thinking of you. That doesn't make sense to me, but I get it.
Yeah, you have to lose to get silver.
Yeah.
And that's so crushingly disappointing.
Yeah, I would still rather get silver, but I would... try as hell as everything I had not to get sober.
Right. Everybody wants the gold.
Yeah.
No one's showing off those Super Bowl losing rings, Steve.
No, but they're cashing those checks, baby.
Yeah. That's for sure.
We'll see. So tonight's game, I think I'll take Oregon and give the points. 3.5's not a lot. It's one shot, 1.5 shots.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. I think Arizona wins by like 5, or Oregon wins by like 5.
Really? That close?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I think, and I've been proven wrong on this because I've said, oh, these are the types of games that Nico, you know, is kind of built for. But I think these are the type of games that Nico's built for, and I think he performs well in a game like this. As much as he's going up against someone who has pretty much every advantage in terms of experience.
So if he does well, and if Zeke does well, they win?
Yeah.
Really? What's well?
Take
your time.
I know. I'm trying to think. Kind of a similar game for Zeke, I think, to the last one.
20?
18 and 10.
For Zeke?
Yeah.
And for Manny?
Efficient. Just don't take 20 shots. If he can score 15 points and get, you know, 8 or 9 assists, I think that's a recipe for a win.
Okay, that's about, what is that? That's about 37 points, 35 points.
You need I know where you're going with it.
You need about 37 more?
No, I know.
It's all right. You can be shot and not answer my question.
Well, Steve,
no comment. Well, you need Josh to do, you know, his 12 and
any
12
contributions and, from somebody else.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this today. X factors. We all know how important they are. Who's the X factor besides those three?
That's a good question.
I'm usually known for having one or two.
Maybe Jamal Baker.
Really. Okay.
I think I trust him the most as a shooter. I know he's up and down, and they've all kind of been up and down of those shooters.
Uh-huh.
I think he can do more than just shoot, and I think that's important.
Who's coming out?
What do you mean?
He's got to play. Who's going to come out?
Dylan Smith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's not an X factor.
No.
I think when he has a good game, you're thinking like, wow, he's having a great game. Dylan's, I don't get
it. He is who he is.
I don't get it. I still don't get it. I mean, he's been here 20 years now, and I still don't get it.
His career is what it is. I mean, he's just.
What is it?
A guy who's going to be great one day and then just not very good the next and disappear, and you're not even going to recognize it.
Admittedly, though, when he looks great, the team looks great.
Yeah, but I don't think he's that guy. I don't think
he's not that guy.
He's not that guy. I don't think you're saying, well, if he plays well, they're going to win. No.
He's not the X factor.
No.
No. Is Jeter ever have any X factor? I don't think so either.
He's almost one of those guys you know what to expect, too, and you're more surprised if it goes well.
So who else is there?
Ouch.
I think a lot of Arizona fans would agree with me on that one. There's a lot of people who want to see Christian Coloco in the starting lineup.
Oh, yeah,
and he really hasn't done a whole lot.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve that.
In terms of his career so far.
So who else? Who else is left?
Max Hazard.
Oh, man. You're throwing holes in this team. Because if the three freshmen don't do well, this team doesn't do well. Max is coming off and playing how, 12, 13, 14 minutes?
Yeah.
Needs to hit some shots. Man, you're depressing me.
Yeah, if you're an avid Arizona fan, you may
not want to listen to this. You know I'm not, so you couldn't be depressing me. It takes more than that to depress me. So we'll see. I expect a nice game today. First one to 70 for me tonight.
I think we're going to see if this team can truly be tough. Because I think there's going to be a toughness element to this game that's going to be needed to win this game.
So they lost to Baylor by one, two, something like that?
Yep.
They lost to St. John's by one,
it was
two.
And then
the first loss was to...
Was it to Baylor? And then Gonzaga?
And then Gonzaga. And that was a decent game for a while.
They lost to Baylor by five, Gonzaga by four.
Yeah, so a couple possessions.
St. John's by three. So two. Is that where we're going, working our way down?
No. I'm thinking they've been in every game in a weird way. I don't know if they had a chance to win those games, but it's all been weird. They're tough, but I agree with you. Once it hit hard, we'll see what happens when adversity really hits.
Yeah.
Tonight, I agree with you. Could be that time. Thanks, guys, for coming in. We got to run and go watch a game.
Yeah, it's starting very, very soon.
Tom, you buying beers?
Oh, it's my turn, is it?
The dinner
funny,
and the
funny
beers.
How that always works out.
It's always the guy who makes the least. I know.
Got to get ingratiated into this group here.
I know.
See you guys tomorrow. Not you, Tom, but I'll see you guys tomorrow here on 10:30 The Voice.